Welcome to the Healthpreneur Show with Uriel Keim. We're so glad you're here. Every episode, we're going to bring advice and conversations with experts that will help you grow your health business. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Uriel here with you once again. I am joined by Julian Brass, who's on the other side of the world today in Israel. This is going to be fun. And in case you don't know who he is, really quickly, he is a serial entrepreneur in the branding and mental health space. And he's an international best-selling author, but there's obviously a lot more to him than just that. So Julian, welcome to the Healthpreneur Show.
Thank you, my friend. It's very exciting to be here.
Yeah, totally. So let's dive into this because you've got a fascinating journey and I'd love to know. Let's actually go in. I want to go in reverse if that's okay. 2020 was an interesting year for many people. You kind of really focusing on the mental side of well-being as part of what you do. How were you able to get through 2020? How did you see that? Was it a challenge? Was it an opportunity? Talk to me about how you were able to make it through everything that happened with COVID.
2020 was both a challenge and an opportunity for me. I had to do a ton of internal work and growth when, you know, the things that I cherish, like going to see my mom, were taken away completely. And being someone who's, you know, very social and just loves to, you know, create experiences for people in person, when those were taken away, you know, you had to really sort of go within. So I took it as a time to not just do more sort of like inner work and, you know, not to say I'm lame, but like kind of become my own best friend all over again, because I was spending a lot more time by myself. But also as a chance to, you know, revisit what I was doing business-wise and impact-wise for the world and ask myself, is there perhaps something more that I can be doing to really give back and change what it is that I offer the world and how I show up, right? Because in 2020, I was still all in on what is my one of my brands, Own Your Anxiety. So that's a best-selling book that I wrote. It came out in 2019. And it led to, you know, a whole social impact brand. And it was all in on mental health and anxiety specifically, Uri. But what I realized as 2020 went on is that, you know, I created Own Your Anxiety as a passion project after I sold my former business, Notable, and the Notable Awards in 2017. I figured, like, you know, you sell a business, what do? You write a book, you try to help the world, right? But I realized while I have, you know, thankfully, I'm grateful to say I made a significant impact in the world of mental health. It's not like I was the person who, you know, one day said, you know, when I was in my teenage years, I'm going to become a, you know, a psychologist or a clinical therapist, and that's what I'm going to do. It was rather, I have an experience with anxiety. I learned how to master it. I want to life's work. So I realized in 2020 that, holy smokes, so many people are desperate to pivot right now, and they want to find out how they can make an impact using their own expertise. And, you know, my sort of like genius zone is in building brands. And thanks to all the tough bouts I've had with my own anxiety, I've learned how to do it now in a way that I don't get anxiety. And if I do, it becomes my edge, my superpower, my creative genius. So I decided that I would, in 2021, create a whole new offering, which is helping people build a brand, but master their entrepreneurial mindset at the same time. So the long way of saying that 2020 was certainly a challenge, but it has led to numerous opportunities as well.
That's awesome. It's good to hear that, because I think, like, in my experience, there's kind of two categories of business owners. There's ones who have been like super resistant to change and they struggled the most. And then there's others like yourself who are like, okay, cool. Let's adapt. Let's pivot. Let's bring something new to the world. And it's great to see that you're doing well with that. So that's awesome. So when you talk about anxiety, like, is that something that you had from a young age, or is that something you've noticed develop in your entrepreneurial journey?
So I was actually anxiety free until I became an entrepreneur. You know, my whole life, I was like the fun, like happy-go-lucky, class clown, no issues really, except they said I had a learning disability, but I wasn't smart enough to realize
that.
I wasn't smart enough to let that give me anxiety even, or think twice about it. Like, okay, I suck at school, no problem. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have any anxiety until I started up my old business, Notable, in 2008, and then it hit me like a right hook to the side of my face, and I was like, "What the heck is this feeling?" I had this, you know, pathetic entrepreneurial male stigma that I have to, you know, be strong and always have my stuff together, and I can't ever be vulnerable, and you know, open up to how I'm feeling. I had this whole, you know, BS stigma in my mind. I just wanted to be taken seriously. And I thought at the time that a man to be taken seriously must be bulletproof. You know, thank God I've learned a lot since then. But at the time I suffered silently and I got anxiety from entrepreneurship. And that began, you know, an up and down battle with anxiety and mental health for a number of years. Luckily, I came out on top with a lot of self-education, a lot of training, a lot of curiosity and a lot of belief. But, you know, it certainly was I'm happy to talk about it more if you want. And I can tell you and all your listeners, if you have anxiety, you know, you're not alone, and it doesn't mean you're not going to be successful or that you're not an awesome person. I certainly, managed to build an amazing life, with anxiety. And now I literally love it. It's my superpower. It keeps me healthy. It keeps me on the right track. It keeps me showing up as my best self, because when I'm not, the anxiety comes out.
That's a really good perspective on that, because a lot of people allow that kryptonite, for instance, to hold them back, right? So like fear, self-doubt, whatever you want to call it. But how are you able to take the one thing that kind of quote unquote crippled you into becoming your superpower?
Sorry, can you repeat that again? We paused and I got the last 2 seconds of your question.
Yeah, no worries. So I was just saying, like, a lot of people get stuck with like the thing that holds them back, but how are you able to take the thing that might hold a lot of people back, and how are you able to turn that into a superpower that you could use to move forward?
Right. So I look at anxiety as follows. It started with just my own internal journey and exploration, you know, trying to be sort of internally resourceful, and it's led to helping tens of thousands of people. It really can work for just about anyone. I should tell your listeners that I do specialize in what some of the top doctors of the mind would say is the little A, and that's about 90% of anxiety sufferers who suffer from anxiety, but not on an extreme clinical level. So that's who I speak to. You know, I'm not an MD. I'm not a professional when it comes to, you know, psychiatry. So I don't go for, I'm not qualified to help people clinically, but about 90% of anxiety sufferers, the top doctors of the mind say that with lifestyle changes, they can greatly heal their anxiety. That's who I'm here to talk to, just for your listeners, you know, so we get the record straight. There's a lot of great doctors who are helping people with clinical anxiety, and I want to get in the way of that. So it's like this. When I started to get anxiety back in 08, while I was frightened and suffered silently and didn't talk about it, I also became incredibly curious about where it's coming from and why I'm getting it. And then I started to explore that I was getting it when I was living life out of alignment, when I was pushing just a little too hard, when I wasn't taking care of myself mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And when I wasn't showing up prepared for, you know, presentations, projects, stuff like that. So I started to say to myself, well, what are the most, you know, demanding, high intensity, high pressure jobs out there? And as someone who's loved sports my whole life and loved music, I quickly realized, okay, well, athletes and performers are probably amongst the very, very, very most high stress, high pressure jobs in the world. I play, you know, semi-competitive hockey for the vast majority of my younger life. So I am no stranger to what happens in the dressing room before a game and how, you know, half the team is like running on adrenaline. The other half is like debilitated by their nerves, but somehow you get it together when it's time to go on the ice and you perform. So I started to think, well, the feeling that I have now when I'm sitting at my desk, let's say, or when I'm trying to go to bed, isn't that different than when I was like getting super pumped up to go on the ice or channeling all those nerves and adrenaline to like get clear and then go on the ice and like, you know, play a great game. So then I thought, well, let's look at all these other athletes that are doing this professionally. Look at all these performers that are doing it professionally. And I started to realize that a lot of them have anxiety, but they're able to master it and make it their secret edge and superpower before they go and they play their sport or go on stage. And, you know, I realized, hey, you know, genetically and from a DNA perspective, we're really not all that different from one to the other. Like, sure, we might look different, you know, religion, skin color, name. But we're actually so freaking similar. It's almost mind-blowingly like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I realized, well, if, you know, that athlete can do it and Adele, you know, one of the most famous musicians who has terrible anxiety can do it, well, why can't I? There's probably a way. And I became an explorer of the way.
So I love what you just said there. So if this person can do it, why can't I? See, what I'm fascinated by is where a lot of people say, this person did it, but they're this type of person, therefore I can't mm-hmm. do this. How do you help someone through that? Or how did you, I don't know, how do you help someone restructure that thought pattern?
Sure. So my book, Own Your Anxiety, is basically all about inviting people to, you know, not unlike popular societal beliefs, run from your anxiety, take a pill from your anxiety, hide from your anxiety, be ashamed of your anxiety, beat your anxiety, fuck your anxiety, you name it. Mine is completely different. It is own your anxiety because I believe that we have this natural abundant source of energy, us anxiety sufferers, quote unquote. And that's a beautiful thing. But the thing about energy from, you know, a sort of spiritual perspective is that energy misguided is a huge problem. It's kind of like a fire misguided, right? You need fire to keep yourself warm, to light beautiful candles, to cook an amazing meal. You need fire, you need heat, you need flame. But if you don't know how to contain that flame or contain that energy, then you're going to have a forest fire. You know, you're going to have a burning house. You're going to have a kitchen that is up in smoke, right? Same with energy. You're going to be running around in circles like, you know, if you're a child, but when you're a grown person, you got to like sit there and act like you're composed when you're not. We need to know how to control the energy and control the fire. So I realized that if that energy is just currently misguided when I feel anxious or when a person feels anxious, and if there's a way to shift it so that I can then harness it from negative debilitating energy to positive facilitating energy, then I can use it as like my 10th cup of coffee without the jitters, mm-hmm. you know, and I can channel that into bringing my dreams and my goals to life in a much more profound way. So that's sort of where the awakening occurs, realizing that there is a better way and that it's probably possible for you too. And then it's also understanding, okay, so when the anxiety does come, what am I going to do with it? So having the tools and the methodology to know what to do with all that energy, what am I going to do with it when it comes, but also to create different lifestyle changes so you get less debilitating anxiety in the first place. But when it comes, you know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that framework. It's funny because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs will say, well, I don't know, I've got ADHD. I don't know if I can do this. It's like, hold on. You understand, like, you have the superpower of most entrepreneurs, right? And it's interesting how some people will label themselves as having anxiety or ADHD or inserts, you know, whatever, and use that as their reason why they can't do something. Yet at the same time, there are thousands, maybe millions of people with the same issues doing the exact opposite thing, doing the exact thing that they're saying they can't do. And I love just like that internal dialogue that's, you know, you're talking about here to be able to reframe that so you can use it in a more empowering fashion.
Yeah. And can I just speak to that for a second?
Yeah.
I just want people listening, all of your listeners here, it's really important that they understand that, you know, when I appear here or someone like yourself, you know, guys who are successful, you know, have our stuff together, you know, at least externally, we sure seem
falling apart.
I want people to, yeah, exactly. I just want to make sure that this is super clear for everybody. Okay, I still have days where I have more anxiety than others.
Sure.
But to Yuri's point, those are the days that I have to step up more so that I am not owned by my anxiety, but that I own it. You know, that means I might have to meditate longer that day. That means I might have to flow on my yoga mat longer. It means I might have to be a little more cautious and intentional about what music I listen to. It might mean that I'm not going to have any coffee that day because the caffeine is going to set me off. You know, it might mean that I'm going to like cancel a meeting that really wasn't a must-have meeting. It was more of a nice to have, right? Like, it also might mean that's some of like the sort of like scarcity minded things that I might have to do. But from an abundance standpoint, it also might mean, oh my gosh, thank you. I have the best source of energy today. I'm using this as a creative day. I'm going to go all in. My phone's going on silent and I'm going to like get the most creative stuff done for the next 4 hours and I'm going to crush it. And you know what? A few days later when I'm like not feeling, you know, sort of more wound up, that might be a day where I'm going to have two or three coffees and I'm going to, you know, do this and do that. And maybe my yoga flow won't be quite as long. So I don't want anyone to think that, you know, I come before them or even, you know, someone like you who is successful and, you know, I'm sure your work ethic is like, it just can't be, it can't be broken. I want people from every level of the journey to understand that people like you and me, it doesn't mean that we don't have off days, but it just means that that we don't let off days slow us down or stop us. It just means that we work harder on off days.
So that's great. Being Canadian, you know, Celine Dion and her husband, Renan Charles, passed away a couple of years ago. He said something to her, which I thought was incredible. He said, "You don't have to be on all the time. You just have to be on when it's time." And I was like, that is so good. And it's kind of like, you know, hitting home what you're talking about here is having grace. I'm like, yeah, like there's definitely days where like, I don't feel super motivated to tackle the one thing I know I need to do, right? And I love how you just get kind of like, you have the self-awareness to know how to move based on what's happening. And I think that's great. And I think self-awareness is a really, really great quality of amazing leaders. So that's tremendous.
You got it, brother. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
After you.
You're the host. Okay. Okay.
No, cool. Thank you. And then I'll ask the question.
Deal. I was just going to say that self-awareness that allows great leaders or high performers to know when it's time to be on, to use that same analogy, it's attached to having a meaning behind what it is that they're doing, right? If I didn't have a meaning behind the work that I do, right? Like right now, I am working with a small group of people from around the world. Literally, I have 14 people in 6 countries. We're in this very intimate group program. It's all about helping people build these high impact, high income based brands. And, you know, that is what I'm all in on right now. Yes, I have all your anxiety. Yes, I got my different things going on, investments, whatever. But like, that is my main thing I'm showing up for, like real time doing the work. And that's my meaning. So if I'm having a challenging chapter, and I actually am having a very challenging one right now, like real talk, I'm going through a breakup. I'm halfway across the world. My whole life flipped upside down in a matter of 3 weeks from a companion standpoint, lifestyle standpoint, geographical standpoint, everything standpoint. But I've got a meaning that I have to show up for. So no matter what, I have to step up. And going back to that great analogy, I don't have to be on every single second, but when it's time to be on, I better rise to the occasion. And that keeps me going. So I think it's just such a beautiful life hack that anyone can benefit from to understand why you're here. What is your meaning behind what it is that you do? And if frankly, if you don't have one, make one up because your mind won't know the difference.
It's really good. That's really good. And it's so good because, you know, we often talk about like goal setting and vision and like going back to the reasons why you do something, because those reasons why, or in your case, like the meaning is what's going to help you above those obstacles. And I think that's, you know, what you're talking about here. It's just so great because it's very easy to get down and very easy to be held back by whatever, but connecting to that meaning is great. Okay. Before I ask you this question, I just want to make sure that all of our listeners and viewers know where they can follow you online. So do you want to just quickly share that? And then I'll just ask you one final question.
Sounds great. JulianBrass.com, JulianBrass, like the metal, .com. Instagram, same thing. Basically everything is Julian Brass. And you can find me on all the places you would look.
That's a good name. My youngest son's name is Julian. So that's
no awesome. Way.
Yeah. So anxiety, I think it's obviously increased dramatically in the last year, especially. But I think what I've noticed in the entrepreneurial space, especially in the last, at least in my circle, the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a huge amount of talk about anxiety and depression among entrepreneurs. How do you feel that social media and perhaps social comparison is playing into that?
Well, it's interesting. A few years ago, when social media was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, the Anxiety and Depression Association labeled another type of anxiety. There's several. There's general anxiety disorder. There's this anxiety. There's caffeine-induced anxiety disorder. There's that anxiety. And now there's social media-induced anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. So you know, the authorities really are very concerned about social media and what it does to the in the world of anxiety and depression. 100%, it is one of the worst things for a person's anxiety. There's no question. I can speak from personal experience. If I spend too much time on Instagram, that I like kind of lose touch with where I am, what I'm doing, etc. The second that happens, you're kind of sucked in, mm-hmm. right? You're kind of sucked in into this like alternate reality where it's a reality full of self judgment, comparison, envy, perhaps jealousy, and yes. There could also be a lot of inspiration. And I think that's where I'd like to sort of take the question, which is, if you're not mindful about who you follow, and if you're not mindful about the internal dialogue you have as you consume your social media, it will lead to negative self-talk, a way lower vibrational state, and just way less self-love. So it's really all things that lead to more anxiety. So it's really important to be discerning with your social media use.
Yeah, totally. I don't know if I've ever really felt jazzed up and feeling more energetic and better after leaving Instagram. Like, unless I'm creating and like posting as opposed to just mindlessly consuming. And I think it's, again, it's a tool. It can be used for good, but also there's a flip side to that. But yeah, definitely great perspectives, Julian. Dude, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's late in Tel Aviv. Let me ask you one final question. I like asking this, not so much of a question, but just kind of fill in the blank. I like asking a lot of our guests this. So how would you finish the following statement? I know I'm being successful when?
I know I'm being successful when I feel I am living in alignment as the most elevated version of my highest self.
Awesome. Dude, I love it. So good. Julian Brass, thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us on the Healthpreneur Show. This has been a
thank
short
you for having
super
me. Stay
insightful
safe,
journey. Yeah.
It was a pleasure. I've loved your work for a long time. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate this. And beginning of many, many conversations, I'm sure, in the future. For all of you guys watching and listening, be sure to follow him online, julianbrass.com, and the same on Instagram. And grab the book, Own Your Anxiety. Just what he shared here has been tremendously valuable. So thank you once again, buddy.
Thanks, my friend. Take care. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on the Coach's Corner. If you didn't know, inside of our private Facebook group, the Healthpreneur Hub, Yuri's show, The Coach's Corner, happens live every single morning with one goal: to help you grow your health business. If you want to hear more of The Coach's Corner, then click the link in the show notes to join the Healthpreneur Hub on Facebook for free. And if you want to know the 4-step system that predictably fills a health business with qualified, ready-to-buy clients, we want to send you an invite to our free online masterclass. You can find that masterclass at healthpreneurgroup.com/show or by clicking the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Healthpreneur Show with Yuri Okine.